I could have died. And I think about that all the time.
As a young girl.
Yeah.
You started a gang.
When it came time to make that transition from school to home, it's literally a battlefield.
What you're saying is not fantasy.
No.
That this is real and it's still going on today, right?
Still going on. And so I just charged at her. When I charged, my entire crew charged. People did get stabbed that night. Anytime I'm fighting two or more girls, somebody gets stabbed.
You said, I died to all of that stuff.
I did.
And Jesus is now the Lord of my life.
Yeah, I just felt like a totally different person.
This is gonna be good. Hello. Hello, 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 hello. Hello and welcome to an exciting show today. One step forward, two steps back. Now, if at first you don't succeed, come on, you know the rest. Try again. Now, these may be cliches, but we've all been there at one time or another. We try to start a new lifestyle. We, you know, like eating healthy food, and then every now and then go by the drive-in and the drive-through and get some fast food with a little shake. You understand what I'm talking about? We find ourselves right back in that drive-through after we said we weren't going to go. We ordering a cheeseburger, fries, large shake, apple pie. Or maybe you've tried to save money and you see something on sale. You just got to have it. You told yourself you wasn't going to spend no money and you saw it on sale and already you blew your budget. Listen, you may even find yourself around toxic people and, you know, you're trying to get rid of the drama in your life. But one slip up and you wind right back up, messed up. Again, lifestyle all jacked up because you hanging around with those people with all that drama. Well, on today's show, you're going to meet Andrea. She's been living through an extreme example of this kind of yo-yo in life that maybe you are experiencing now. Now, as a teenager, Andrea tried to fit in, which led to her starting her own gang, fighting and doing petty crimes. But Andrea realized she wanted more from life and clawed her way out of that lifestyle and managed to get a scholarship to a prestigious high school. And just when things were going well, her money got low and she wound up back in the street life selling drugs. She was able to put all that behind her again and made it to college. But then another setback, and then another step forward, and another setback. From a setback to a step forward, the cycle continued to repeat itself in her life. Now listen, I know a lot of people feel the same way. Well, you're about to meet her, and we're going to talk about how to take a step forward and no steps back. Today's show is designed to help you get out of the yo-yo lifestyle that's been plaguing you or someone you love. Through the stories you hear today, ladies and gentlemen, you're gonna discover the steps to overcome, to move ahead, live the life you deserve. I'm Creflo Dollar, and this is your world.
Changing one life, time after time. Oh Lord, we do it all for you.
Through the trials I see.
You know, our guest today has been on a crazy roller coaster cycle of ups and downs, each time forcing her back to her old life of violence and selling drugs. Now she has two kids and wants nothing more than to have the life God has planned for her. But she knows one more setback will send her back to the old life that Andrea doesn't want. And she will have lost everything that she gained. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome my guest to the show, Andrea. reading your testimony, I was like, this is going to be good. I call this your world because I want you to take us into your world.
Okay.
So you had a very interesting life growing up.
Yeah.
And of course, you know what I'm going to hit first, because as a young girl.
Yeah.
You started a gang?
Yes. So growing up in D.C., I'm from Southeast. Uh-huh. It's rough. And I always was good in school, always got good grades. But when it came time to make that transition from school to home, mm-hmm. it's literally a battlefield. Mm-hmm. I have to get past the drug dealers who are already out there, the drug users, people standing on the street, other females. And when I would come across sometimes other females, for whatever reason, they would pick fights. Mm-hmm. It could be about the littlest thing. It could be because I had a side ponytail that day.
So your environment was...
It was the environment. The yeah. environment was violent. The environment was drug infested. Mm-hmm. The environment is impoverished. Mm-hmm. So a lot of what came with that, you know, on my way home, I can get jumped. Mm-hmm. There would be fights that would be picked, or I would have to travel a different way home.
Wow.
So I started to, you know, the girls that I were friends with, mm-hmm. I was like, we have to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. It was more like, we need to protect each other. Mm-hmm. We need to click up. We need to form our own gang so nobody can mess with us.
Power and unity, huh?
Exactly.
Now, see, that makes a lot of sense to
me. So it was me, I remember, my cousin and two of her girlfriends. And they're like, I had just got jumped. It was like one of those things where I was like, okay, this is it. I had to literally use the emergency exit and jump off the Metro bus to get away from the girls who were jumping me. Call my cousins up. I'm like, y'all, we got to go get these girls. I know where they at. They didn't mess with the wrong one. Mm-hmm. So when I called them, it wasn't enough of us at the time. I had like about a couple of friends. It was like 10 of us.
Now, how old were you about this time?
13.
Okay.
I was like, let's call ourselves a name. Let's get together and let's just have our own group. Mm-hmm. And then we came up with the name Shut 'Em Down.
Shut 'Em Down.
So we were the Shut 'Em Down Honeys.
Shut 'Em Down Honeys.
So I felt that was a surviving technique. Look, y'all my girls, let's get together so that none of us will have to deal with this. It got to the point where we didn't travel if it wasn't at least 10 of us together. Mm-hmm. And when it came down to how we would recruit members, we did make them fight someone. Like, they had to go pop off, meaning you had to go, we pick a random person that we might have some beef with, and you have to initiate a fight. We had different things. They would have to go. We stole from the mall together. So that's another thing we did. We would go out to the malls, fill up trash bags, literally trash bags full of clothing, and we would sell it.
So y'all would go rip the mall off, and then somebody would have to go and pick a random person, mm-hmm. and they would have to beat them up.
Yeah.
Do you remember the purpose for why that was a qualification in order to be a part of the game?
Yes, I do. The mall was just, it was our thing. We have to stay fly. Mm-hmm. We got to make sure we have all the latest clothes. Mm-hmm. So if you're scared, you're probably not going to roll with us and you're not going to be fly enough.
So am I accurate when I say, again, that we are products of our environment?
Yes.
Whatever you're exposed to the most?
It was normal.
It was normal.
I literally didn't think it was anything wrong with it at the time.
Wow.
I didn't think it was wrong.
You don't want somebody that can't fight?
We did take some people. Okay, so if you were brave enough to fight, uh-huh. even though you lost, you were still a winner to us because you fought.
How big did the gang get?
Probably got up to about 100 girls.
And you started this?
I did with my cousins. It started from when I initially got jumped. The very first fight that we had as a gang, mm-hmm. meaning it was definitely all 50 of us out there that day, and it was another gang. We were in Southwest. Mm-hmm. Their gang was called Sexy Sassy Ladies, SSL at the time. I was dating some guy, just young love type thing, and he was playing back and forth with me and a girl from that gang. The girl walked up on me with her whole crew. I think they were so deep that night. I mean, it was probably like 20 of those girls out there. And it was just me, my little sister, and my cousin at that time. My crew was around the corner at another little shindig. I was on my way to go meet them. They caught us by ourselves. So it's just three of us. She's like, yeah, you talk to so-and-so. I'm trying to see you. Meaning she wanted to fight me. I'm like, what you want to fight me for? That's my dude. Like, you ain't going to have him. And if you think you got him, he mine now. So roll out. And I wasn't scared. back then I had mace and knife. So I pulled out both and I was like, who won it? Like, y'all ain't about to run up on us like this. My sister called my girls. My girls came around the corner, and when they seen how deep we really was, when everybody came, they kind of was like, whoa, you know, they backed up a little bit.
So you know this sounds like a black version of West Side Story.
Really?
Yeah.
It's so real, though.
Yeah, I know. That's what I want. That's what I want our audience
it's real.
And people that are watching
yeah.
to know that what you're saying is not fantasy.
No.
That this is real, and it's still going on today, right?
Still going on.
Yeah.
The girl, so their leader at the time, me and her, because people really did look at me as the leader, and people looked at her as the leader, and we were the strongest ones in our gang. Anytime there was a fight, I was always in the front. I'm probably the first person to swing. Mm-hmm. So we went out to an open street. It looked like a block party. Mm-hmm. It wasn't. We were preparing for a brawl. Mm-hmm. And
y'all had knives and weapons?
Oh, yeah. I was. Mm-hmm. I've been had pulled out my knife. I was ready to go because I was like, it's too many of y'all. Mm-hmm. Anytime I'm fighting two or more girls, somebody getting stabbed. In this particular instance, my mom got called and some of the girls' moms got called mm-hmm. out to where the fight was. Mm-hmm. My mom came trying to like, oh no, this is not about to go down. You know, I'm like, no, they disrespected it. I wasn't listening to my mom back then. But I talked over her. The girl, the other leader, she sprayed mace. My mom got maced in the midst of her spraying her mace. And so I just charged at her. When I charged, my entire crew charged. And we were out there brawling. It was bats. It was knives. People did get stabbed that night. People was maced. People got beat up with bats and different sticks.
Have y'all ever heard? I mean, can some of y'all relate to what she's saying?
No.
You can relate. Some of y'all cannot relate at all, right?
No.
You just didn't grow up like that. But some of y'all know exactly
it
what she's talking
rough.
About. So you're on a gang. You're in a gang, but academically, you're performing well mm-hmm. in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I read in your testimony, as a result of it, your mom sent you to school out of town?
Because my grades were so good, mm-hmm. and theater was my passion at the time, she actually found a school in California called mm-hmm. Idlewild Arts Academy, mm-hmm. $40,000 a year to mm-hmm. attend that school. They gave me a $30,000 scholarship. Mm-hmm. to go. And it was because of my audition. It was excellent. My grades, I had recommendations from the head of school mm-hmm. and everything. No one at my school knew about my life.
Your gang life.
Nobody. Mm-hmm. That was not for them. I felt that my mom said education is the foundation that'll take me wherever I want to go. Mm-hmm. So even though I knew I was here and I had to survive here, mm-hmm. I knew that this was my ticket out, which that's what it became. My mom, I got the scholarship, and then I left to go to California.
So you've got the scholarship,
yep.
and this is in California.
Yep.
In spite of what wasn't happening in the home, in spite of what was going on in the gang,
yep.
you had a great GPA. You are a leader, obviously.
Yes.
All of the tryouts you did were awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So $40,000.
Yep. My mom had to pay
$10,000.
So
I understand that for financial reasons— mm-hmm. you had to come back home.
Then I had to come back.
Okay.
I didn't want to come back to D.C. I knew that going back, one, while I was out there, I had so many issues with my girls because they felt that I left them. Mm-hmm. They felt that I abandoned them. They had a couple of fights after I left where they didn't come out on top. So they felt that it was because I left. My sister had gotten involved in a fight. They had a big old fight at this club called the Black Hole. And my girls got beat up so bad.
So what was the step back when you returned back to Washington?
The step back for me was that I was right back in the same environment. Mm. So coming back, I did get accepted into Duke Ellington School of the Arts, which was very rare because in D.C., you need to start that school in ninth grade. Mm-hmm. I was a first-year senior, which mm-hmm. never happens. The only reason why it happened is because I had arts, theater classes, I had credits that, you know, they would have had if I would have went through their entire program. So I'm a first-year senior at the school, and while I was there, I didn't feel like I belonged there either. Like,
now, where was this?
Duke Ellington School of the Arts. It was up in the Georgetown area of Washington, D.C.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's a very influential school in the area. It's known because we have music, dance, theater, mm-hmm. and very, very talented students that come out of that school. I felt like with theater, I love to be there, but they kept, when I got back and I'm around my own, they kept saying, oh, you come from that rich school over there, like, you know. It just made me feel like, well, dang, now that I'm around my people, y'all telling me that because I've come from a very rich school now I don't belong here.
From now, California?
Yeah, they're like, oh, this is not like what you learned in California. This is how we do theater over here. You know, so
that's kind of weird because now you're still experiencing rejection.
Yeah.
So now I'm getting a really a common ground here. Mm-hmm. You're experiencing rejection even when you come back home.
Yep.
Now, this time back home, was this the time that you discovered your mom was in jail?
Well, actually, I was there leading up to that point. So, yeah, my mom did. So I come back as my senior year. The first half of the year, she's still doing her thing in the streets. And it was some, we call them waterheads. They smoke water. And they tried to jump my mom. I end up fighting one of the girls. I beat her up real bad. I'm like, you ain't playing with my mother. My mother beat up the other girl. They called the police on her. And they was trying to get her locked up as a drug dealer, but she only got locked up for stabbing them up. So she had got the charge. She got 6 months. That was the hardest thing for me because I'm like, it's my senior year of high school. You the hustler. And, you know, now where our money going to come from? And not even just that. I want you there for my graduation.
Because you have siblings,
right? I want you
right?
there for my prom.
You got your brothers and sisters.
My sister and my brother, we're all 2 years apart.
Okay.
So they were 2 years younger than me. Mm-hmm. My brother was 4 years younger than me. But I pretty much made sure all the bills was paid, making sure that nothing got cut off.
How?
Well, when it came in the mail, I just looked at the price and then I sent the money. I started selling weed. I sold the rest of my mom.
Well, that's what I was asking. Oh. Like, how did you get the money to pay the...
I sold my mom's drugs and then I...
Okay, yeah. That's where we want to be.
I started selling drugs.
So now you're back and you feel like in order to pay the bills, you've got to start selling your mom's drugs and...
Yeah, my Taco Bell job would not pay them bills. But so while she was in jail, I'm holding things down. I actually started selling some drugs. So anybody that would buy them in school, out of school, it didn't matter. I would leave school to go make some runs. It did make good money. By the time I got to my senior prom, my boyfriend at the time was also a drug dealer, so he helped put me on too. He took me to my prom. My mom made it to the halfway house. So I let my mom know. I'm like, Mom, this is what I've been doing out here. I got you some money put up. You're going to be straight when you come home. And then... by the time I graduated, she actually got, like, a pass to come and see me graduate. I still graduated from high school, still at a 3.0. And I also had got accepted into Rutgers University.
Rutgers University. Mm-hmm. We're leaving high school. Mm-hmm. We have a scholarship to Rutgers University. Mm-hmm. Very prestigious place.
That summer, before I went to college, I mean, now that I look back, I realize I was under attack. But when I think about it back then, I thought I was still just surviving.
Yeah.
It was so hard. When my mom, she came back home shortly after my graduation, I just remember she just didn't know what she wanted to really do. She was like, she wanted to get back into selling drugs. She lost her job now. She was she had a felony charge. I believe they busted down to a misdemeanor. But she lost her job in the process. And so we were financially... in a really rocky place. Mm-hmm. We was tight. Mm-hmm. I told my mom, you know, this the money I have for you, but I'm going to keep doing my thing. My mother said, no, I don't want you in the streets. I still did it anyway because I knew that I was preparing to go to college. That summer, I probably fought more just in that short block of time. Some of them were girls from my previous gang, and then some of them were a lot of new girls over... really dumb small things, but I was in so many different brawls and fights, and my mom was like, we need to hurry up and get you out of here. She told me that she didn't want me to die in the streets.
Yeah.
I could have died, and I think about that all the time. That's something that now when I look back and I feel that remorse, like, that's the life that I lived. That's how I know I died. It was... I got to the point I remember is when I found out I was pregnant. I did 30 days in jail. I didn't know why. I knew I was in there, but I didn't know what God was trying to reveal to me. But when I came home, I just felt like a totally different person. And I still think to this day, I should have been dead. I should have been dead. I was so ungrateful. I was just, I wasn't thinking about my future at the time. I just was thinking about surviving and getting through the next day. But I'm thankful to God that I'm here today. I'm thankful to God that He's using me to share what I've been through, to bless the life of somebody else, because it was the hardest thing for me to even come out and share this. I felt so embarrassed by everything that I went through, and I felt like people would judge me and not respect the woman I am today and what I'm doing today for my children as a mom, as a businesswoman. And so I hid it. But I'm grateful to God that I was able to share that.
That's good. You know, ultimately, one of the things that we have to bring into this conversation is that when you deal with behavior, mm-hmm. you're going to have to do more than modify behavior.
Yeah.
And so when you look at what's the answer to that or mm-hmm. the alternative to just modifying your behavior,
right?
I would have to say it's when you really believe the identity that you have achieved once you get in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, in Christ, I'm the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And the day I believe that I'm righteous, then my behavior will change.
Yeah.
In Christ, I am holy.
Yes.
And the day I believe my new identity as yes. someone that's holy, my behavior changed. It's like people have tried to, well, they've allowed their behavior mm-hmm. to determine who they are.
Yeah.
Instead of allowing who you are now that you're in Christ
yes.
to determine your behavior. And so now literally your identity is what determines how you behave. So mm-hmm. even your behavior in Christ, even when you misbehave, mm-hmm. that's not the time to question who you are in Christ.
Wow.
Even when you misbehave, yeah. you go back and say, I am still the righteousness of God.
Wow.
And you know what grace will do? It'll change your behavior.
Wow.
And yeah. that's the thing. What you were going through is something that we call lasciviousness.
Okay.
And lasciviousness, it's just simply no restraint. Mm-hmm. It's like one more time equals one more time equals yep. one more time
yep.
equals one more time.
Yeah.
And it's never one more time.
Yeah.
And so, you know, when you deal with no restraint and you deal with lasciviousness, mm-hmm. the only way to deal with that yo-yo life,
yeah.
I believe with all my heart, is in Christ. Mm-hmm. Because when you get in Him and you start believing who you are in Him, mm-hmm. that's when the power of God's grace begins to rearrange the furniture on the inside of you.
Hello. Come
and on, you man. Won't even be able to explain why you don't do what you used to do anymore.
Yeah.
Except I'm in Christ, I'm the righteousness of God, and I woke up one morning and the taste was taken out of my mouth. I just don't want to do this anymore.
Yeah.
And that was really hard for me to explain before until I recognized the power of my identity in Christ Jesus.
Wow.
It's like, and seriously, we had this kid one time, actually had this guy one time who just was hooked on weed. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I don't know what to do. I'm trying to stop. He's trying to use willpower to stop. He's trying to modify his behavior to try to stop it. And he'd stop for a period of time before he would find himself back into it again. Mm-hmm. And so I told him to do something strange. I said, I want you, every time you think about weed, I want you to say out loud, I'm the righteousness of God.
Wow.
Well, he laughed. And I said, look, don't laugh. Just do what I tell you. Because he's thinking, what is that going to do?
Yeah.
I said, just do what I tell you. Just trust me. And so he would think about weed. He'd say, I'm the righteousness of God. He would pick it up. He'd say, I'm the righteousness of God. He would light it. He said, I'm the righteousness of God. This particular day, when he lit the thing and then he put it in his mouth to smoke it, he's like, wait a minute. I'm the righteousness of God. It dawned on him. I'm the righteousness of God. I don't even want this. His behavior changed because that was the day he really believed his identity of being the righteousness of God now that he's in Christ Jesus. And something so awesome breaks off in a person's life where the behavior is now impacted mm-hmm. by your belief in who you are in Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
If you've been on a crazy cycle trying to change your life and you keep failing and trying and failing again, don't give up. Hang in there. It's not easy to start a new life, but that's where the grace of God comes in. If you've been trying to walk away from a bad relationship, to give up smoking cigarettes or doing drugs or start a whole new health lifestyle to lose weight, Know that you can't do it alone, but you don't have to, because with God, all things are possible. You just have to trust and believe and keep walking in that faith, and He'll bring you through it all into a new life with more blessings than you have ever imagined that you could handle. So stay tuned. I want to help you with a very special collection I designed to show you how to become a new person through God and how every step you take forward remains your victory. My announcer is coming to tell you more, and we'll be right back.